Before we get started, you should probably know that the following podcast contains strong language and conversations of an adult nature. Also, it will almost certainly contain spoilers. Hello and welcome to Minisode 84 of Strong Language and Violent Scenes, the podcast giving a second chance to films that might not deserve them. I'm Mitch Bain, I'm a lapsed horror writer and an occasional doer of musical things.
And I'm Andy Stewart.
We are back.
Yeah, new year, new voice.
Kinda. How are you?
I'm okay, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. You too. How was yours?
It was incredibly quiet, if I'm honest with you. I think I was in bed by 12:30.
I can't have been far behind you there. It was pretty subdued at our end as well. Very nice, though.
It was good. It was lovely. It was far and away the most peaceful one I've had in probably the last decade.
It was probably up there for me as well. But yeah, good times all around. So, it's been a couple of weeks.
You're going to blow off those cobwebs.
Time to sharpen up. Yeah, I've been up since 7 o'clock this morning doing star jumps and running around the garden.
I haven't.
It's okay, I haven't either. So, over the festive season, what have you been watching?
Okay, do you know, I'm not going to dig too deep into everything I've done over the festive season, but I have watched a load of stuff. Okay. Like, I watched all of The Witcher.
Right, okay, I haven't got to this yet. I'm hearing some mixed reports. Where are you on it?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I quite liked it.
with an effusive review like that, yeah. How can I turn it down?
It's Game of Thrones light.
Okay, sure.
But there's some cool stuff in it, and I actually quite like Henry Cavill in it. When I first saw images, I haven't played the games and stuff, when I first saw the images from it, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. Right. But he's actually fine in the role.
Okay, cool.
Which, I quite enjoyed it. I'll watch the next series.
How much of it is there?
8 episodes.
Okay, cool.
So it's not a massive drain on your time. I finished watching Watchmen, and it's fucking sensational.
People have been going crazy about this. I think episode 6 and the final episode, I think, are the ones that people seem to be losing their minds about.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
One thing that I've seen a couple of people saying, I think one of them, I want to say that one of them was actually our old pal Graham Skipper on social media, was saying that the bravest and best thing to do with Watchmen as a TV series right now would be to stop it and leave it as this self-contained piece of something that he considered to be basically perfection.
It is perfect. I saw someone else saying it might be a good idea to stop it now and maybe do another series in like 20 years.
Okay, yeah, I can see the wisdom in that.
Which again, I would also be down for, but they'll definitely do another season like immediately.
Yeah,
but it is amazing. It's probably my best new TV show. I've revisited heaps of Seinfeld.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Which I do with alarming regularity. I have completed my trawl through the old Godzilla films.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Played some video games. I got my hands on Remedy's Control, which is kind of like the new Star Wars game, in so much as you have Jedi-esque powers, but it's much better.
Okay. I'm going to just come out of the gate and say I have no idea what you're talking about.
Cool. I got Death Stranding, which is a new game from Metal Gear Solid creator Hideo Kojima, but so I haven't really dug too much into that. It's one of those games that's going to be alarmingly large, I think. But yeah, you're basically delivering packages on your back across a desolate wasteland while your character has the face of Norman Reedus.
I see. Death Stranding is one that I know about. I've read a lot of people going crazy for it, saying it's one of the best games of the decade, all this kind of thing.
I'm reserving my judgment on that at this point. I mean, it looks sensational. Mm-hmm. But like I say, you are trudging across a wasteland carrying increasingly large piles of packages on your person.
So I can understand if you are currently apprehensive about the shelf life of that as a premise.
But yeah, like I say, I haven't dug too much into it. It could be that the story and the gameplay opens up dramatically, but so far it does feel a little bit like a drudge.
Okay. Fair play. Anything else that you think's noteworthy from over Christmas?
Tons of stuff. I'm probably forgetting loads of stuff because I've really done nothing but watch stuff.
Right, sure.
I've been around a lot. The wee man wasn't well at one point, so I had to spend some time looking after him. So I spent a lot of time just plonked on my arse eating After Eights.
Fair one. Yeah. Okay. So if these things occur to you later, you can mention them in later episodes. You know, you're not beholden to mentioning them right now.
No, I mean, you would think with the start of a new year and the first episode of a new year, I would have perhaps done some preparation and written down a little list of topics to discuss, but I'm very much freewheeling it here, Mitch.
No, that's all right, that's all right. You always were the loose cannon of the two of us.
What about you? Crack open your pad.
Well, he says, opening the actual Word document that he has in front of him.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I did some viewing over Christmas. I was home for a few days, and I managed some stuff. All rewatches, mind you, apart from, and it's non-genre, so I'll just mention it very quickly, but I did finally make time for The Irishman.
Right, okay. How did you like that?
Well, I watched it with my dad, who's a big Scorsese guy, so I kind of saved it to watch with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it over two nights, watched 2.25 hours one night and 1.25 hours the following night. It's really, really good. It didn't feel its length for me, but I watched it in two parts.
Right, okay. Right.
But yeah, no, if you like that kind of thing, I would say get on it. I really enjoyed it. But I watched three main ones over the festive season, and by virtue of sheer coincidence, it was actually the three Christmas films that were included in the argument or discussion for the most recent episode of a podcast I wanted to mention quickly. I Spit on Your Grades.
Oh, okay. Yeah, friends of our show.
Yeah, which is, I kind of think, merits a mention. Faye and Chris Ellis and John Mercer, regular listeners and sometimes contributors to this show, have started a podcast called I Spit in Your Grades, which is available in most places now. And they were having an argument about Christmas films this week. I say argument, discussion. And the three that they were talking about was Anne and the Apocalypse, Krampus, and Better Watch Out.
Okay.
So I rewatched Anne and the Apocalypse with my mum. I'm not going to dig into that too much because I feel like we talk about it every week. But
no, we're not giving John McPhail any more airtime this early in 2020.
No, that's plenty. Krampus, I hadn't seen in maybe 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And if anything, it was better than I remembered it being.
Right.
I really, really love that film, and I love kind of how nasty the sting in the tail and the ending is.
Right.
And
Better Watch Out. Now, I know that you are a little bit cold on that, or you were the last time we discussed it. I think we discussed it on this very show.
That sounds about right. I think it was maybe when you watched it, because I'd seen it at Frightfest that year. Yeah, I am in the minority with this one, but I, like, on first watch, I absolutely hated Better Watch Out. And it's kind of, and in the intervening years, it has kind of picked up this reputation as being this super fun Christmas horror film that's going to be entering everyone's rotations and stuff like that. So just in the interest of fairness, I was like, you know what? You know, because that happens at festivals especially, you know, things can catch you in the wrong mood and you can come out being like, fuck this film, and then watch it at home later and be like, you know what? Actually, this isn't so bad. This did not happen with me with Better Watch Out. I still really, really hate it.
Wow, fucking hell. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's really difficult to quantify why, but it's just one of those things that's just, like, right from the opening frame, it rubs me up the wrong way.
I don't really know what to say to that.
I'll tell you what we can do. We can bullet on to something else that I've achieved.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you one thing before we do move ahead. I don't suppose you've made any time to see the feline catastrophe that is Cats.
Not yet, no. I almost saw it on Hogmanay. I was out during the day. I ended up just meeting a couple of people, but my original plan was to go to the cinema. And I looked at it, and I was kind of thinking about how this podcast has conditioned me to gravitate towards trash. Because I was looking at it, and there's like, oh, there's a few things there, you know, that I legitimately want to see.
Yeah, Jumanji. You know,
Jumanji, The Next Level, Little Women, Frozen 2, Rise of Skywalker. All these things are sitting there that looks like I would legitimately enjoy them in the way that they are intended to be enjoyed.
Yes.
But I just kept on looking at it. You know that thing where it's just in your peripheral vision, you're just like, there's also Cats, though.
Yeah, I think. I really think we need to go and see it. Like, maybe have a beer beforehand and just go in and experience it, because everything I'm seeing has just drawn me deeper and deeper into the Jellicle world.
My understanding of it is that it was the last great horror film of 2019. We should do a bonus episode on it.
Yeah, I need to see it. It's kind of consuming me, the fact that I haven't.
I'm having this creeping obsession with it as well. I keep eyeing my schedule for coming weeks, being like, will this week be the week?
I think just bite the bullet and do it.
It's settled. We're doing it.
Wonderful.
So,
Mitch, what's your shockwaves? 100. And he's nearly done. The gap is closing.
You didn't even make it to the end of singing it.
I'm bored of singing that song, Mitch. Do you have any idea?
I was going to say I've got no idea how many times you've done it, but it's 98.
Yeah, is that where we're at?
Yes, we have two remaining now. I was going to say over Christmas, full disclosure, I watched it this morning. For date stamp purposes, we were doing this at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yes.
I watched Rosemary's Baby this week.
Oh.
Which, unsurprisingly, I thought was great.
Well, aye. It's a stone cold classic. Great performances across the board, suitably chilling.
Yeah, I think so. It's the kind of slow burn that really hooks me in. I got kind of like very swept up in it very, very quickly. I really, really liked it. I would probably be in maybe the top 20 or 15 of the 98 that I've watched so far. And that leaves Possession and The Exorcist 3.
Both of which I have in my possession.
Interesting development. There could be like a fun Saturday forming here where we back-to-back Possession and Cats.
Do you know, I would very much like that because I feel like I actually haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a little bit of kind of non-podcast time would be good.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we could snuggle up, have a nap.
Sounds lovely. Sounds delightful, actually. but yeah, 98% done on the Shockwaves 100. At some point, I will recap what the Shockwaves 100 is for people that don't know, but today is not that day.
Leaping ahead, then. What have they been seeing?
It's feedback time. We have had a decent amount over the last little while, and apologies if I haven't quite caught all of it because I was going through like 3 weeks worth of Twitter mentions and Facebook interactions and Instagram and stuff. But most of it this week was, we asked kind of just around the time, obviously if you've been keeping an eye on your feeds, you'll have noticed on Christmas Eve we dropped a best of 2019 episode where Andy and I both picked some of our favourite episodes in no particular order. And played some clips from them. So we did ask you to chip in with what your favourite moments and favourite episodes were from the year. And loads of you got back in touch, and it was really nice reading the different things that worked for different people.
Yeah.
And Darren Gaskell getting in touch, saying the whole Ron Mintz saga, the Nightmare on Elm Street 2 episode with Mitch Harrod, and Laura McQuay's use of the word hag in the Truth or Dare, a Critical Madness episode.
Andrew Marshall getting in touch with quite a few things. Mostly all the wonderfully analytical defences of films I considered irredeemable, especially Stephen DeGennaro's take on Sucker Punch and Mitch Harrod laying out the subtext of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. More love for Mitch there.
Coin it in.
Also, a lot of love going to the Moocher, the Faker, the Candle Dick Maker.
I do think that might be my piece de resistance of Mitch's pitches.
Tucker Flaps back.
It's becoming almost as endearing as Ron Mintz. I'm waiting for Kim to give us a knitted character at Tucker Flaps back.
And again, more love for Mitch Harrod. Mitch's pile on my gay shit declaration, which I think would make a great t-shirt slogan.
Yeah, maybe. we have Dave Cooper, Deluxe Man, on Twitter saying, honestly, it's
Deluxe underscore man, what the hell?
Oh, Deluxe underscore man, yeah, how rude, sorry. Saying, honestly, it's got to be the discussion about Howard the Duck's corkscrew dick.
I mean, that grew arms and legs, much the same as Howard did when he moved from a duck to being an anthropomorphized small human duck.
Very true. Also got a Canel, Kolak on Twitter.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Feast episode for interesting info, Demon Wind, just because Demon Wind is fucking boss. I also went back and checked the Call of Boss episode because I just checked the other week and I keep watching it pissed. 3 times in a week's free trial of the Arrow channel and I bought the Blu-ray.
That's too much Call of Boss for anyone, man.
Yeah, stop calling the boss.
Saltire Popcorn at Saltire Popcorn getting in touch with his favourite moments. Nobody has yet mentioned the dragon dildos.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, shame on you all. That was obviously inspired by a conversation about the website baddragon.com,
yes,
where you can buy numerous different styles of dildo in the shape of dragon cocks. I believe they also sell horse and other equine beasts. Like maybe unicorn ones.
Right, okay.
I think they sell those ovipositors that we talked about that weird women use to inject fake eggs into their fannies.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was gonna say that this has grown arms and legs, but I hope that dragon dildos don't grow arms and legs.
But you can buy those dildos that are like big fists.
I suppose that's also true.
So, and I'd be utterly gobsmacked if you can't buy one that's like a foot and a shin.
Is it more accurate to say that this has grown arms and fists?
But yeah, Kevin had more things to say. He says that there's far too many moments to actually choose from, which is nice. But the cruising Freddy's Revenge double whammy coming along sometime after Hellbent gives a lesson to podcasters in how to discuss such content. Bravo. That's fucking lovely.
This is cool. Yeah, thanks very much, Kevin. That's great. I mean, obviously, it's really nice to hear about people talking about the things that they thought were funniest.
Yeah,
stuff
I think the fact that we have done kind of some of these real LGBTQ horror films with people in the know.
Yeah.
And they've been so well received, I think it's really heartening and nice to know that we handled it appropriately, and we're never seen to be. I mean, as we've said before, we are two straight white guys, the worst fucking type of people in the world.
Worst demo right here.
Yeah, and I think if we've managed to deal with that in a suitably respectful way, then that's good, because I'm so disrespectful in most other aspects of my life.
Yeah, fair play. Dave Cooper getting in touch again just shortly after Christmas.
Yeah.
A most excellent Christmas present from my brother, who also listens to the show. Then Dave posted a picture of himself wearing the World of Chuds t-shirt.
Yeah, amazing. Do you think the deluxe underscore man is Dave's way of saying he's the deluxe version of his brother? Perhaps his brother's getting an interesting Twitter handle.
Standard underscore man.
Regular underscore Joe. I'm not done with Dave Cooper, by the way, because I've got more from Dave.
Okay, cool.
He actually tagged us in something when he was kind of reaching out to ourselves at Pranks and Firth, that Kevin Smith, and even the Vidiots official. Apparently we're the ones that got him into podcasts at a point when he was feeling his worst, and we've inspired him so much that he's currently planning to start his own one next year.
Excellent.
That's amazing.
That is,
and
that's
and
cool.
Dave, of course, let us know when that goes live and we'll give you a wee shout. And because I think podcasts should be bigging each other up. Your podcast shouldn't be like an island.
No. You shouldn't be rivals. You know, you should be helping each other out. And yeah, we like doing that.
Yeah, we do.
I have a couple of specifically Jack Frost-related ones.
That's right, we did an episode on Jack Frost.
We did an episode on Jack Frost. Seems like an eternity ago, but it happened. Canel getting in touch again. Having rewatched Jack Frost earlier this week, I'm afraid to say your claim that this film will not be entering anyone's seasonal rotation is not accurate. Accompanied with a screenshot of his letterbox where he has awarded Jack Frost 4 stars.
Oh, wow. That's better than my review for The Witcher, which I actually quite liked.
Yeah. A longer consideration from Andrew Barron on Facebook. Having not seen this festive snowy masterpiece before, I watched it on YouTube in preparation for this year's Christmas episode. It seems the YouTube version has completely axed the scene in which Jack becomes a tub-dwelling snow nonce. I did think it strange at the time that after the death of her boyfriend, Sharon Elizabeth's character wandered into the bathroom and then simply disappeared from the narrative altogether. I can't say the absence of the scene has made me think any less of the film. Agreed.
Yeah, it's a troubling moment.
Yes, I think we're all richer for that scene not being in the film.
Yeah, because the film's moving along at quite a clip. It's fun. It's kind of, yay, look at Jack go. Here comes another victim. And then you're like, No.
Exactly. So you got anything else before we move on?
Yep, I've got something from Stevie at Film Fan Stevie.
Okay.
Just reaching out to say thank you and a hell of a lot of love to both myself and you for another
Nice.
Fun-packed year with Strong Violent PC. Hope you both have an amazing Christmas, and fingers crossed to do a live show in London next year. Hopefully at the Curzon Soho. I mean, we would love to do a live show in London. We are already working on a few live show dates for this year. Fuck. This year.
Yeah. This year. A few things in the works.
But yeah, it's... We would love to do that, Stevie.
Yeah, and it's on our radar, you know? It's like, it is something we're looking at.
Yeah. And I hope then that means that you will go. Even if you're the only person there.
I kind of feel like Stevie has possibly been colluding with Chloe Bestley, Chuck Spadina 25,
right,
on Twitter, because she also tweeted saying, thanks to Film Fan Stevie for introducing me to Strong Violent PC. It's made for enjoyable listening, and I can't wait to hear more next year. Hopefully you'll do a live show in London.
Okay, so that's two.
Okay, yeah, that's a start.
I've got something here from Scared Sheepless, Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Getting in touch to say, a fun fact for the next Anaconda-based episode of Strong Violent PC, which we will hope to do this year at some point.
For sure.
Ice Cube, the man himself, tweeted out, fun fact, I only did Anaconda because I didn't die and got to help kill the snake. Ice Cube, if you're listening, and I know you do, I'm under no illusions that that's the reason that you took this film on.
That's excellent. That's great. I have one more thing, and it's just a quick congratulations to Cosmic Ray Girl Alexis on Twitter, who has joined the 100% Club.
Ah, there we go, another one.
Yeah, listen to every last thing that we have put out, like some kind of lunatic. Her final one, the one that put her over the top, was episode 2, Billy Kirkwood, Buckaroo Banzai. So a deep, deep cut, the deepest of deep cuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, not quite.
Episode 1 is the deepest, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, that's me, I'm cleaned out now.
Me too, so... It is once again time for Mitch's Pitches, the first one of 2020. Here we go. Mitch's Pitches is a feature on the show that is designed to exploit my ignorance for your entertainment while we're recording. Andy will send a picture to my phone. It will be a poster from a horror film from years gone by. He'll have photoshopped out the title, the tagline, or any other identifying text and leave only the image. It will be up to me to describe the image to the best of my ability and also to give the film a title and a synopsis based on the image alone. We'll also share this image everywhere on all of our social media, so you can join in as well, as a couple of you did this past time, which was back in December 15th.
This past year.
This past year, where we had a honeymoon horror.
We did, yeah.
Tastelessly reappropriated by me as Debbie Does the Devil, a woman scorned.
Fuck, I totally forgot that's what you'd called it.
Predictably, we've just got the three. I think that people were kind of getting a little bit busy around Christmas. But we do have a couple to get through. Laura, by an LV on Twitter. Valentine's Day will never be the same again, and the adult spoof that just had to happen. Sextro.
Yes, I saw Dennis, extra effort, and weighed in on this. He was quite happy with that.
Yeah, you could have set your watch to that one. Chris Salt, Oblin Pictures on Twitter. After an industrial accident leaves him horribly scarred and permanently on fire, factory worker Alvin Safety is forced to quit by management as part of a corporate cover-up. Left with no means of supporting himself and also permanently on fire, he has to take a menial job as a handyman at a small motel on the outskirts of town. Things are pretty quiet for him as he settles into his new life until he discovers that his old bosses from the factory, the ones whose negligence reduced him to this state, use the motel for their illicit extramarital shenanigans, and he hatches a plan to wreak fiery vengeance on the adulterous administrators in 1981's gritty blue-collar polemic, Burn After Breeding.
Thank you, Chris.
Very good. And Tony Constantine.
Okay.
Brace for this. When penniless student Montgomery Spunk discovers a discarded delivery...
Go, carry on.
Up to a flyer. When penniless student Montgomery Spunk discovers a discarded deluxe bed behind a derelict sex gymnasium, he hastily takes it back to his apartment to impress his girlfriend Winifred. But after the bed's trial run, Monty discovers Winifred emaciating before his very eyes. Seeking the help of best friend, student doctor, and amateur demonology expert Gregory Hosepipe, they quickly discover Monty's new sex bed is possessed by jealous gluttony demon Hungalophagus, hell-bent on sucking the life force out of Winifred to satiate her demonic hunger.
Come hunger?
It's just hunger, I misspoke.
Now with
Hosepipe's help, Spunk must muster the spunk to unbed the bedspread undead dread from Fred before she ends up dead in 1988's Unexpected Anorexorcist, the disenchanted madness of the mattress enchantress.
that was excellent. That was an embarrassment of riches.
It really was. It was a gift that kept on giving, wasn't it?
Best character name.
You're giving that to Montgomery Spunk, aren't you?
And the best, I'll just give the other part to Tony as well. Happy New Year.
I think that's fair. A double helping of nothing for Tony to kick off his 2020.
Yeah.
Big thank you to everyone that pitched. We will have another one for you in, a minute.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're fairly enjoying these kind of campus and college ones just now, aren't you? Okay, so here we go, right. The background of the image, the border for a start, by the way, is white.
Well done.
The background of the image appears to be a blackboard in possibly a lecture hall.
Okay.
That's my take on it anyway. Standing in front of that blackboard is a skeleton who is wearing a mortarboard and sunglasses.
Yep.
He has also got a scarf wrapped around his neck in a kind of thrown over one shoulder Homer Simpson Max Power kind of way. Okay. He's wearing kind of like an academic or varsity sweatshirt and a button up underneath it. The jumper appears to be woolly and green with red and white stripes on the sleeve with a V-neck. And the button up appears to be pale blue.
Okay.
In his skeletal hand, he is holding what looks like an apple-shaped bomb. Or a cherry bomb.
Oh, it could be, yeah.
But yes, it has a very long fuse, which is lit.
Right.
So I think that's just about it. Academic Skeleton in Shades and Mortarboard stands in front of a blackboard in a lecture hall while wielding a explosive.
Cool.
Right, as ever, I will need but a moment.
And the first airing of 2020 for the Sunshine Kid.
Lovely.
Remember the old Batman film from the 60s? Where him and Robin kind of face off against the four main villains?
Yes.
There's a bit where Adam West's running around with a bomb.
Yes.
And he's trying to dispose of the bomb and he's unable to, and it's very funny. I just thought I'd mention
that. this is going somewhere now.
Well, no, I was just looking at that skeleton holding that bomb and thinking he's going to want to get rid of that, and then it popped into my head the some days you just can't get rid of a bomb line.
So anyway, I should really be concentrating on something else right now.
Yeah.
I am just about there, I think.
Okay. Happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
When bright-eyed and naive Vincent Abrasion heads to college, he's excited to join a fraternity and party with his frat brothers before buckling down for a hard year of study. During pledge week, he searches off the beaten track for a frat house that will accept not only him, but his oldest friend, his elderly dog, Patience. He eventually stumbles upon the secluded house of the Kappa Kappa Tau fraternity, and it feels like a perfect fit. However, a bizarre hazing ritual involving keg stands, beer pong, and the chanting of ancient incantations, the brothers summon the vengeful spirit of deceased Kappa Brad Weiser, who famously died of liver failure during a notorious frat party 100 years ago to the day. With Brad wreaking demonic vengeance on campus, it's up to Vincent, Patience, and the slow-witted frat brothers to stop the madness before the all-important final exams in 1988's screwball horror comedy, Examination Damnation, the initiation of Vince Abrasion and his faithful Alsatian, Patience.
Fuck. Sake.
I'm not going to lie, the title came first and I wrote the story.
Oh, the title came first, did it? Yeah. Right, okay, excellent. It just came to me.
in a shocking twist, yeah.
Wow, okay, that was complicated.
Yeah, fairly convoluted. So what's the real answer?
What year did you say?
I said 88.
Oh, you're not far off. It was 1986.
Okay, not too bad.
And the film was Slaughter High.
Slaughter High, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The synopsis for Slaughter High this week coming from Losman on IMDb.
Losman. Are you sure it's not pronounced Losman?
It could be Losman. Could definitely could be. A group of popular students play a cruel prank on a shy nerd, resulting in a terrible accident. Isn't it always the way, Mitch?
I know. It's always the nerds.
Leave the nerds alone. Years later, a reunion is held where each of the students face a stalker killer who may be the same nerd out for revenge.
Oh. As opposed to a copycat nerd.
Yeah. A nerd in jock's clothing.
That concludes Mitch's pitches for this week. That image is now everywhere. By all means, get in touch, get pitching. Let's get the year off to a flyer with some good pitches.
Enthrall us and make us laugh. The more you make us laugh, the more nothing you will receive.
This is exactly how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Mitch, tell me.
Yes.
What's going on in the world of streaming?
Okay, so a hefty dose of fuck all on Amazon Prime.
Is there even The Purge anymore?
No, there doesn't appear to be, actually. There's episodes of Vikings. We can start talking about that if you want.
Yeah, Mr. Robot has clunked his last.
For now, at least, yeah.
I believe.
Oh, really? He's clunked off the mortal coil?
Yeah, that's him. He's been decommissioned.
Oh, right, okay. Well, the streaming platform section will never be the same again. Netflix, not too much. There's some good stuff coming next week, so more on that as and when it happens. But on Friday, we have Until Dawn Season 1, which is France's funniest comedians carry out ghastly tasks as they try to outlast and outwit one another while overnight in haunted locations.
Is this a real thing? Is this like a reality show?
I think so, yeah. From Friday. Sky Cinema got some great stuff coming this week. On Thursday, we have Book of Monsters.
Oh, okay, brilliant.
Film very dear to our hearts, as regular listeners will know. We love the film. Also, of course, when it played at Frightfest, Andy, the short film you produced, Dave Malcolm's Mannequins, ran before it.
And we've had the director Stuart Spark on previously talking about Deep Rising.
So loads of connections to this film. Nick Vince as well, friend of the show, also in there.
Yeah.
But for those who aren't familiar, quick synopsis. Sophie's 18th birthday becomes a bloodbath when monsters descend upon our house and start to devour the party guests. The teen and her friends must soon rally together to send the party crashers back to hell. tell. Also coming to Sky Cinema this week on Friday, we've got Jordan Peele's Us, which if you haven't seen by now, you gotta get on. Accompanied by her husband, son and daughter, Adelaide Wilson returns to the beachfront home where she grew up as a child. Haunted by traumatic experiences from the past, Adelaide grows increasingly concerned that something bad is going to happen. Her worst fear is realised when four masked strangers descend upon the house, forcing the Wilsons into a fight for survival. When the masks come off, the family's horrified to learn that each attacker takes the appearance of one of them. Love this.
Yeah, loved it too.
And Shudder, just the one this week, but it is worth mentioning that in the first week of the year, Lucky McKee's All Cheerleaders Die landed on there. You know how I feel about that one. But also on New Year's Day, Heathers. Just for reference, actually, this is all UK channels that we're talking about here. On Thursday on Shudder, we have got The Marshes. Deep in a remote marshland, three young biologists conduct research, but when they encounter evil, science ends and survival begins.
Ooh.
So that's your lot for the streaming platforms this week, or at least as much as I could dig up. I would say pick of the week this week, I feel like it would be remiss to not make it Book of Monsters.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a great film. Go forth and check that out. But loads and loads of good stuff to be getting stuck into this week. And also, someone check out Until Dawn and tell us if it's any good. So turn their attentions to this week's show then, and the first main episode of 2020, and we do have a guest.
We do indeed, and it's a film actually that we've talked about doing for a little while.
Yes, I think some people are going to be pleased that we're finally getting around to doing this one. Our guest this week is a horror writer, has written many horror short stories amongst other things, and is also the host of the A Nice Chianti podcast with our pal Zoe.
Yeah.
Is Mr. John Crinan.
Yes, indeed. John joins us this week, and we're taking a little trip back to 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to do this.
Yeah, that's
Frank Marshall's Congo.
Yeah, we're doing Congo. It's time. This pleases me immensely.
Yes, it's talking gorillas, scary gorillas, Tim Curry with an indecipherable accent, Ernie Hudson with an indecipherable accent, a brief cameo from Bruce Campbell in there. It's everything. It's everything you want.
We're talking about it this week with John Crinan. How do you feel about that? Get in touch with us. Let us know. There are loads of ways to do that, of course. Facebook and Instagram are Strong Language Violent Scenes. You can tweet us as well at StrongViolentPC, and you can email stronglanguageviolentscenes@gmail.com.
Yep, and you can jump onto our website, strongviolentpod.com, where you'll be able to find links to all the various platforms where you can listen to us. You'll be able to find links to our TeePublic page, which is about to be updated. I know I said I was going to do it towards the end of last year, and that kind of fell away a little bit.
That's okay, you're a busy man.
Ready. They just need to get uploaded, and I will do that. You can also find links to all of the social media platforms that Mitch just mentioned, and of course, live dates as and when they're announced.
Mm-hmm. We are back this Friday talking Congo with John Crinan. Join us then if you can. In the meantime, don't forget, it is better to die a hero than live as food in a world of chuds. Goodbye.
Man, I've missed that.
Oh, yeah.
See you on Friday, guys.
You've been listening to Strong Language and Violent Scenes with Andy Stewart and Mitch Bain. Strong Language and Violent Scenes theme by Mitch Bain. Production and artwork by Andy Stewart. Find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean.